There we go. There we go. All right, I'm excited about sharing with you all a message that's been on my heart, and it's about encouragement. I really want to encourage all of you today in your walk and in your faith and in the fellowship of this church. I want to ask you a real simple question this morning for us to ponder for just a few minutes, and that is this. Are you giving off vitamin C, and I'll explain what that is in just a minute, or toxic G? Vitamin C or toxic G is what I want to spend a few moments talking about today. Vitamin C, that's what I want to call it. I got a little spiritual version of this. C stands for courage. Are you giving others vitamin courage? Are you fortifying other people's lives? Are you giving them toxic G? And G stands for give up. All right? Now, as we go through life, we are on this journey. We're in a position, but we have a goal and we have a destination for our journey. And all along this journey, we need to infuse one another. And that's the case that I want to make this morning, that we need to infuse one another with courage, and that's called encouragement. Scripture says this, Romans 5:2 says, each of you should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. What Paul calls us to do as Christians is to be involved in a construction project. And each one of you are a construction project that God wants built up. And God, the way God goes about building us up is through the encouragement of the scripture, through the encouragement of being in a relationship with him, but also through encouragement that we give to one another. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, excel in gifts that build up the church. And so again, here's this construction project that God wants us involved in. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you were doing. So this Christian church there in Thessalonica, they were involved in this exercise of encouraging one another. Encouragement is the bridge to get us from where we are to where we are going. Edward, just a moment, read that passage where it talked about the Hebrew preacher was preaching to that group of Christians. He said, let us, you know, fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, what did Jesus do? He was the author and the perfecter of our faith. He fixed his eyes on the cross. He would go through suffering and he would endure it. He would scorn its shame. Now, that is a gift that you and I, in our Christian growth, need to learn to do, is that when you and I experience challenges in our lives, we need to learn the art of scorn. The art of scorn. Have you ever heard anybody say, you need to learn how to scorn? Usually, we scorn others in inappropriate ways, but what we need to do as Christians is to learn how to scorn the things that get in our way for the joy that is set before us. Jesus went through difficulty. He willingly embraced suffering. He took on death on a cross because he knew the backside. He knew what was on the other side, the glory of resurrection. Now, what makes you and I think that we wouldn't have any struggles in our lives? And why do you and I get so mad and angry when we do encounter struggles in our lives? I want to suggest that one of the things that will help us grow up and mature as Christians is this gift of encouragement that we should have with one another. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, the Lord had spoken to Moses, and he wants Moses to speak to Joshua. Now, Joshua is given charge of Israel to take them into the land of promise, which is going to require military action. And I don't know if any of you have served in the military or not, but you know that when you enter into a field of battle, that you are risking your very life. And what you have to battle and deal with is the fear that is inside of you. You have to overcome that in order to engage the battle. And so God tells Moses to tell Joshua, he says, commission him and encourage and strengthen him. He wants Joshua built up and stout-hearted. That's what God's will for Joshua was. Because Joshua not only is going to have to lead him into battle, which is a scary proposition, But he also has to deal with, as a leader, the fear of Israel looking at their enemy, dropping arms, and running away. And so God says, I want this man strengthened and encouraged. God wanted him built up, stout-hearted. So God wants to get them, Israel, guess where they are? They're on the east side of the Jordan River. We'll call that east side easy. And we're going to get them to the west side, the land of promise, which is west side victory. Too many of us want to live on east side easy. And if anything goes wrong on the east side easy of our lives, we get all mad and angry because we're not to have to deal with suffering or struggle or hardship or pain or difficulty or sin. God wants to get us on the other side. The way that we move to the other side is through the gift of encouragement from God, from Scripture, and encouragement from one another. The great thing that Joshua has is this. It's the same thing Jesus promised his disciples. He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. God said to Joshua and to Israel, I will be with you. I will be with you. God wants them to go with him into the fight and to enter it with courage. Now, this is what I call blessed assurance. This is blessed assurance, the assurance that God will be with us. Now, many of us are not wanting so much of blessed assurance. We want blessed insurance. You know, we think that when we became Christians, that all of a sudden we were going to have this cruise with Jesus into the Caribbean, right? I mean, health, wealth, happiness, fame, satisfaction in our lives, everything is going to be just great. And then when we have struggles in our lives, we become very angry. We become mad. And that's because we bought into the idea of blessed insurance as opposed to blessed assurance. And that is that God is with us. Look what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will. Did y'all say that with me? You will. Now that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. You will have trouble. There it is. Take heart. Okay, in courage. En means in, to pour into. And courage is the heart stuff. It's the courage that we need. And so he says, I'm going to encourage you. Take heart. Jesus said, I have overcome. You know, what Christians are looking forward to often today is a bright, bright, sunshiny day, right? I mean, we want to hear the Caribbean drums, you know. Those guys beating on those metal drums, and there they are sipping on their pina coladas in the beach and got their legs kicked up on the sand shore. Man, life is easy. And many of us have this idea that when we become Christians, man, everything is just going to work out and it's going to be just fine. God didn't call us to life on a cruise ship. God called us to life on a battleship. And there's a huge difference between the two. One is very self-focused. One is very mission-focused. When you think about people on a battleship, they're there to seek out the enemy and destroy. That ship is equipped. If anything goes wrong, there's valves on that ship. They can shut water off. There's pumps, bilge pumps. They can pump water out of the ship. They can take fire. They can give fire. They can rescue. They've got radio. They can call in. They got satellite. They've got all kinds of stuff that you and I don't even have knowledge of. These battleships have. You and I as Christians, we are called to be on mission with God. And we take out the enemy. And what Paul tells us, the way we take out the enemy is we take every thought and we make it captive to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we seek out the strongholds of the enemy in other people's lives. And we speak the gospel. We speak truth. We speak truth to power as that powerful word comes to work in people's lives. So Jesus didn't give you insurance from pain or difficulty. Okay? Think about John the Baptist. John's one of the greatest prophets that was ever on the face of the earth. And yet, what happened? He was beheaded. They took his head on a platter and presented it to the king to make the king's wife and daughter happy about that as they lifted that head off the platter. What about Stephen when he was being stoned? I mean, the very first Christian to be killed because of their faith. Okay? They had trouble. They had trouble. Jesus didn't give us insurance from difficulty. He gives us insurance that we will overcome with him. So one of the things you and I need to do is stop being mad at God. Stop being mad at God. There's a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is the perfect book for America because America seeks to find meaning in everything that exists on the face of the earth except for God. And Ecclesiastes says you can't have it. There's a dead-end road. It comes to a cul-de-sac after every pursuit. Health, wealth, wellness, popularity, fame, whatever it is that you're searching for, Ecclesiastes is this incredible word of wisdom that it all ends in a dead end. Those are good things, but they're not great things. Matter of fact, you're going to go to your grave, and you need to honor God before you go to your grave. That's the final word of the book of Ecclesiastes, and there's great wisdom with that. That you and I live in a world that is broken. We live in a world in which, like this past week, those Egyptian Christian men were led out to the beach in those silly orange suits. And they were beheaded because of their faith. Do you know there's been more Christians murdered in the last 100 years than any century prior to that? I mean, here you and I, we sit in a peaceful circumstance, relatively, and yet there's violence against God's people all over the world. I have to believe that God is going to redeem all things, and he's going to work together for the good of those that love him. And so what we need to do, church family, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what struggles or hardships that you and I are facing, we need to be strong and courageous. Encouragement is essential to get through the difficulty of this life and into the glorious life to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together in him. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up, just like you're doing. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily. See, what Christianity is assurance that we are going to get through. We're going to get through. Encouragement is the vitamin C that we are told to pour into the lives of one another so that we can finish the race. There is no giving up. There is no losing heart. There are no sissies for Jesus. Okay? No wimpy people for Jesus. We need to grow up in Christ, but we need to encourage one another so that we stay strong on the journey. God doesn't ask us, here's the great point, God doesn't ask us to do anything that God is not willing to supply us with what is needed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17 says this, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed in and word. Look what God has given us. God has given us eternal encouragement. It's never ending. It's always there. Guys, that's something that cannot be taken from us. Some of you right now are struggling with health problems and your health has been taken from you. But God's eternal encouragement is not. Some of you are struggling with hardships within a family. And maybe a child or a teen is acting out. Or maybe a husband or a wife is going through some difficulties. And it challenges us to the core. And we feel like we're losing something. We've lost something. But there's something that can never be taken from us. And that is that God's eternal encouragement is with us forever. And not only does God give us this, he asks the church to be, we are his body. So whatever God is, the church is to be. And so if God encourages us, we would certainly expect the church to be a place of encouragement as well. As a matter of fact, I'd like to describe and think about, let me give you a picture. The church should be a lock, L-O-C-K, of encouragement. A lock of encouragement. And some of you are going, what do you mean by a lock of encouragement? Well, here's what I mean. Have any of y'all ever been to Panama? That would be like between North America and South America. Anybody ever been there? I just want to see. It's okay if you have. You can admit it. Nobody's been to Panama. Oh, you have. When you guys were in Panama, did you see that 48-mile stretch of a piece of water called the Panama Canal? Did y'all see that? It's a pretty amazing thing that was done in the early 1900s. It actually started in the late 1800s, but in the early 1900s, the United States helped dig a canal through Panama that would connect the Atlantic Ocean with the Pacific Ocean. So rather than a ship going all the way around down the tip of South America, which would take 4 weeks, it could go 10 hours across a 48-mile stretch called the Panama Canal and get from Atlantic to Pacific or Pacific to Atlantic. And today, 14,000 huge, enormous shipping vessels go through this little bitty teeny stretch of water in Panama every year. About 200 million tons of cargo passes through this waterway. Now, here's what's interesting. The Panama Canal has a system of locks on it. And matter of fact, I think there's some locks down here at Matagorda. Some of you might have been through the ship, the intercoastal waterway, and you come into some different locks there. And what these ships do, they come into a lock, and then they flood that lock up, and it lifts the ship up to the next level. And then the gates open up and the ship comes out and then it progresses forward. And it'll come to another set of locks. And it'll come into those locks and it'll fill that boat. The water in that lock will fill up again and it will lift that boat up and they'll open that lock and the ship proceeds forward. It does this several times. It raises these huge, enormous, massive ships. It raises them 3 times on the way in, and it lifts them 85 feet high. Folks, that's over 8 stories. So picture an 8-story building of lifting these enormous ships up. I think that's a beautiful picture of what people should experience when they come into the locks of our lives. When they come into the lock of this church, do they experience the lifting up through the scriptures, through the Father, through prayer, through fellowship? Do people experience the lifting up? Or are you one of these people, are you given vitamin C or toxic G? Some people, I wonder if people are coming into the lock of your life, and rather than being lifted up, you siphon water off of them and you drop their lock even lower. I want to share something with you guys, and I'm not bragging, although I want to share with you a blessing. I have this thing right here. This right here is what I call my goodie file. Do y'all have a goodie file? Well, let me tell you what a goodie file is. I opened up my goodie file a while ago, and I found a note. It said, Happy Father's Day. And I thought, oh, that would have been for my kids. And it says, to you from a friend, love, Jessica Avendano and family. Jessica didn't know it till I showed her a while ago that I stuck this in my goodie file. And then, let's see here. Let's see, I prayed for happiness. Oh, that one's from Mindy. I won't read that one. But that one got put in my goodie file too. I have in here, anytime anybody ever sends me a card or my kids draw me a picture, I got these little fun pictures. This one was to Dad from Hannah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, yeah, it's in my goodie file forever and always. Now, I don't go read this thing every day. Matter of fact, I've never sat down and read through it. I never have. I just know it's in my drawer. You know, when you and I pour life into other people, when they come into our locks, they reciprocate in beautiful ways. for some of you that you may be struggling, you're like, man, nobody sent me letters. Nobody sent me encouragement. Oh, that's my phone saying I need to shut my sermon down. It's a new thing I've started to hold me accountable. Is it working? Not yet. Anyway, so one of the things that if we want encouragement in our lives, we certainly give it. Find those needs that other people have and do it. Say it. Be it. Whatever that is. Let us take our gaze off of ourselves and put it on others. You know, there's that lock I was telling you about the ship. See there? And then, isn't that an interesting picture? Do y'all know who that is? I'll close with this little example right here. I find it fascinating that people in sports do a better job of being Christian-like than many Christians do. There's been research done. If y'all come to my Bible class, I'm going to share a video from ABC News about the power of touch. And one of the things that these researchers from Berkeley in California found is that the winningest teams in the NBA are the touchiest teams in the NBA. That's Chris Bosh and LeBron James doing a man hug, and they're both soaking wet with nasty sweat. Oh, that's gross. And if you watch them, they'll give honey slaps. I'm not saying we should give honey slaps here at church. But some of you could thaw out a little bit from being Jack Frost. You know what I mean? The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss as the churches of Christ greet you. I had to learn that because it had Church Christ in it. Romans 16:16. Not because we need to give holy kisses, but I'm calling for affection. There's appropriate and there's inappropriate. But touch and words and acts of kindness and just a look to somebody can say, come on, hang in. We can do this. Church family, I pray that you're encouraged today. And I want to challenge you to let us be this place where we have, when people come into the lock of this congregation or into the lock of our life, that we will, through encouragement, lift them up. Let's pray. Almighty God, we commit ourselves to you in prayer as we seek to be encouraging people. Lord, I pray that every Sunday that this church family lifts one another up and help us to do it more, and that we lift one another up in our own families, and we lift one another up in the community, that we lift one another up in our jobs and in all that we do, Father. Help your kingdom, God, your kingdom to come in more and powerful ways in our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If we can serve you or pray for you, we invite you forward while we stand and